Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're glad you're with us here this evening. It's Sunday, September 1st, 2024. It's Labor Day weekend, and it's hard to believe. The year has it's going by so fast, so I guess summer is officially over tomorrow.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, so I guess that's how they look at it, but really summer doesn't end until fall begins.
Right.
That's the way I've always seen it. So we have a few more weeks.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's good to be here this evening, and we're here every Sunday evening at 7 p.m. It's good to have Ed back with us. He was away, but we still did a couple of programs via Zoom.
You know, we're both actually back.
That's right. I went away last week, and I got back just in time to get a program in. And it's always good to be home. It really is. So first of all, we want to thank Ray Powers for getting us on the air. He had to work with me last week and play with my schedule to get us on the air on time, and we're grateful for that. And also, let's see, tell us a little bit about Prophecies of Hope, Ed, would you?
Well, Prophecies of Hope is a little ministry here in the Shenandoah Valley in Virginia, in Stanton, Virginia. We've been around since really 2012, but we didn't really, I don't know what to say, organized as well as we did in 2015.
Yeah. That's when we started meeting that's when we acquired a church building by a miracle from God.
Yes.
And so 2015 was when we became, I guess, officially became an independent ministry.
Right. And so we have our services on Wednesday evening at 7 Eastern Time, where we do a Bible study prayer time, and that's available via Zoom. Mm-hmm. And we have services on the Sabbath or Saturday or the seventh day of the week.
Yes.
And we have a Bible study that begins at 9:30, which is live streamed and also available for participation via Zoom. And we have a worship hour at 11, which is available via live stream.
Yes, and also, if somebody wants to contact you, Ed, or send a question or comment, how do they reach you?
You can reach me, ed@prophecyhope.com.
All right, or you can email me, mark@prophecyhope.com, or just send a general email to office@prophecyhope.com.
Just to clarify our email addresses, it's Prophecy Hope, even though we're called Prophecies of Hope, because that's the way we could get the
domain name.
If
some of them, you know, it's hard. It's just like trying to get a personalized license plate or a specific phone number.
Someone else has already thought of it.
Somebody's already got it. Yeah. So that's what happened here. And you know, the other thing is we want to encourage you to read your Bible every day.
Yes.
Please read your Bible, study it, open it up. Even if you just open somewhere and just read a verse, open to the Gospels and just read a couple of verses and think about it throughout the day. Pray about it.
Right.
And if you come across something and if you have a Bible question, we certainly do not have all of the answers, but we will do our best to try to answer that question from the Bible.
Yes, and that's what we typically do, try to read a passage, ask some questions about it, and see what else the rest of the Bible has to say about what we're talking about.
And very quickly, Ed, just to help the listener, when you come across a text or a topic, what do you do when you find, like, maybe there's a specific word or a key word that you clue in on? How do you go about that?
Sometimes I will do a search in my Bible software program for other places in the Bible that have that word. Sometimes I use the Bible software program as a dictionary, and will give me the definition of the Greek or the Hebrew, and that oftentimes will help give me clarification. For example, you know, for years and years we've heard about and talked about the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, one day I looked up grace in the Greek.
Yeah.
And it was talking about God's presence and how it affects our lives. Mm. That's the grace of God, His presence in our life through His Son, and it makes a difference in my life.
Yeah.
That's the grace of God.
So there's wisdom in looking these things up, because the Bible wasn't written originally in our language that we speak, which is English. So there's deep meaning a lot of times in those words.
Nor do we understand the culture of the time, which for example, the Jesus parables would be much more easily understood by the people of his day.
Sure.
Because he related things to the common things that they experienced.
Absolutely. And sometimes he'd use parables, and even his disciples were saying, what is he talking about?
Yeah.
Right? We've looked at some of those. So these are just some pointers, some things that, you know, this program is all about Bible study and finding the answers in the Bible. That's why it's called Bible Answers.
It's not called what does the Bible say according to the opinion of Ed and Mark?
That's right. And our opinions make no difference.
Right.
The answers have to come from God's Word. And so, you know, we just want to encourage you, read your Bible daily. If you need a copy of a Bible, we will do our best to make sure we get one
yes.
to you. So you can contact us, and we'll make sure you get one. So I think that's about it. Go ahead, Ed. Was there something
coming up in a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. What is that, Ed?
It's a Bible prophecy series that we do once a year, usually in September, October time period. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be starting the 16th of
September. Yeah, 2024.
And it's going to be 7 o'clock Eastern time in the evening.
Yes.
And it's available via live stream.
Yes. And so Monday through Friday evenings will be 7 p.m. And we'll start at 7 p.m. Eastern time, USA. That will be streamed on the website, prophecyhope.com. And then the last lecture of that series will be on Sabbath morning at 11 o'clock, typically when we have our worship service.
Right.
So I just want to tell you, some of these topics, go ahead.
The question that's being asked is, what did Jesus say about, and then the topic.
And then the topic. And some of them are very controversial in the churches today. So you can, if you go to our website, I'm hoping, I don't know if it's up yet, but we have someone working on it. Hopefully by Labor Day tomorrow, I'm hoping that it will be up there and you'll see what those topics are.
Okay.
And it'll give you all the information. So I think that's all the business we have to take care of. So would you have a prayer for us so we can get started?
Sure. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we're again grateful for this opportunity to open your word, the Bible, and to see what it says, and to apply it to our lives, that it will change us according to the character of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we will have an experience of Christ in us, the hope of glory, that he can direct our lives and help us overcome sin in our life and help us to spread this story of the gospel. Mm-hmm. Father, we ask for wisdom and knowledge as we study these things. We ask for guidance by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, two weeks ago when we were on Zoom, we had come through Matthew chapter 6. We've been talking about the Lord's Prayer for weeks. And I think we stopped about verse 14, right at the end of the Lord's Prayer. How did you want to do this? Do we want to read verses 14 and 15?
Well, why don't we just read verses 9 through 15?
Okay. Do you have that?
Sure. This is the Modern King James Version. It says, "Therefore, pray in this way." Remember, the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray.
That's right.
And he says, "Therefore, pray in this way. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So having said that, teaching them this prayer, he goes on to say this in verses 14 and 15. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses."
Hmm.
You know, sometimes when we have a conflict with someone, whether a friend, relative, a stranger, a coworker, whatever, you know, sometimes we have a hard time forgiving them.
Yes.
You know, and oftentimes we forget to look at our own lives and to see how much God has forgiven me and my behaviors and my sin in my life. And we need to have that same attitude towards others.
You know, Ed, that's something that I really need help with is, you know, when somebody, I guess particularly with maybe family members sometimes, because we've known them for so long. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it can be easier to forgive them, depending on the thing. But then if it's something that's been recurring, it becomes harder to forgive. So how do I get to the point to where I can more easily forgive someone? What do we do?
You know, I think if we, again, like I said, if we look at our own lives, the history in our own lives, and the forgiveness that we received from God through His Son, Jesus Christ, you know, I may have done something worse than what I have a problem with, whoever I have this problem with.
Right.
And I need to realize that God forgave me those things. Now, it doesn't mean that you keep yourself in a dangerous situation where someone's abusing you. We've talked about that in the past.
Yes, we have.
And, you know, you need to get out of that situation. But I think, in general, we need to be able to forgive others just as God has forgiven us. Now, let me go to Matthew chapter 18.
Okay.
Where Jesus and Peter are talking about forgiveness. Do you mind reading? It's a long read, verses 21 through 35.
Sure. This is Matthew 18, 21 through 35, and I'm reading from the New King James. Then Peter came to him, that's he came to Jesus, and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But he was not able to pay. His master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that he had done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses.
Wow.
That's an amazing account.
It shows us that God expects us to have the same concern, mercy, and forgiveness to others as He has towards us.
Mm.
He has forgiven me personally of a lot. And I need to learn to have that same mercy and forgiveness towards others.
Mm. You know, look at the contrast of the value here. One of them, then verse 24, he owed him 10,000 talents, which is actually, you know, it does, and then in the verse 28, it talks about denarii. So in my Bible, I made a note. 10,000 talents is 60 million denarii versus 100 denarii. So look at the forgiveness, the difference. This one who owed 60 million denarii was forgiven, and he said, that's okay. And then when this person owed him just 100, he had him thrown in prison and didn't want to forgive. And that's not even close to what Christ has done for us.
Right.
That value of 60 million denarii, what's a life worth?
Right.
Right? And he died for every life.
Yes.
For every person, you cannot put a value on that.
You can't reimburse him for what he's done for us.
We can't.
You can't earn it back by working for the gospel. There's no way to. It's a gift. It's a free gift. It's available to anyone who will accept it.
Absolutely. And what's beautiful about this, you know, so many people will look at this and say, I know people that believe, I come from a background like this, that we can kind of, by our deeds, we can get there. You know, we can get to the kingdom of God.
Right.
But your deeds mean nothing.
Right.
You know, keeping the commandments is something that Jesus mentions that we should do. He says that.
Right.
If you love me, keep my commandments. Keeping the commandments doesn't save me.
Right.
It's the blood of Christ that saves me.
It may be a representation if you're keeping it from the heart of Christ working in you.
That's it.
And the power of God working in you through his Son.
Right.
But it doesn't save you. It's the results of being saved and the results of that relationship that you have with God and his Son.
Amen. And I want to state this. Keeping the commandments does not save me. But breaking the commandments can cost me my eternal life.
Yes.
So, and people might say, wait a minute, how can that be? Well, it's the blood of Jesus that saves me. And if I love Jesus, he says, if you love me,
keep my commandments.
Yeah. So if I do the will of Jesus, if I love him and I love our Heavenly Father, his Heavenly Father, then I'm going to naturally, like you said, from the heart, I want to keep those commandments.
Well, this is the second half of the gospel, that change that occurs in us because God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts.
Yes.
So now we have this desire and the ability through the power of Christ living us to become obedient to God.
And I want to state this because some might be listening and they might say, well, I don't understand. Pray and ask God to help you to understand.
Right.
If you don't understand. Ed, you have a testimony about praying, and I know you've shared it before, but this is a good place where I'd love you to share that.
Well, sure. You know, we all come to times in our life where we're unsure about what we believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I had gone to the same church ever since my childhood, and I believed that the church had the truth. But when I started comparing to the Bible, what the Bible said, I realized there's a problem here.
Mm.
Not that this church didn't have some amazing teachings.
Sure.
And some really sincere believers of God and his Son.
Mm-hmm.
But for myself, I wanted to know what the Bible said. So I prayed. I prayed for 3 weeks before I met with you and Rick and Mary, yeah. And this is my prayer. I claim the promise of James 1. It says, if you lack wisdom, ask for it, and God will give it to you. And so I prayed for wisdom and knowledge to understand God's word. And I also prayed that I wouldn't be deceived.
Mm.
And then I also claimed the promise of John 16, where Jesus says he'd send the Spirit of truth to guide us into all truth. And then so when God opened my eyes to what the Bible was actually saying, I had a choice to make. Do I believe my church and not believe what the Bible says? Or do I believe what God's word says?
Mm.
And then I'm in conflict with what my church says. And so that obviously affects all my relationships with the people in my church, my pastor, and
sure.
Everyone.
That's a difficult thing, Ed. It really is. And, you know, when you're praying that, you have to trust that God's going to do what you're asking him.
I had to choose to believe that God was doing what I asked him to do.
Hmm. You know, can you look up a text in the modern King James?
Sure.
It's Proverbs chapter 3, and I'd like you to read verses 5 and 6. And this is something that, you know, each of us individually, we need to come to the realization that we can do this. And you
right.
had been there, but you had a relationship with God for many years.
Right.
And you understood and knew a lot of things from the Bible. But when it came down to really knowing the identity of God and his Son and recognizing how they can change your life.
Right.
that's where it really made a difference in your life.
It led me to continue to search God's Word and to gain a totally new perspective from the Word of God, of the gospel, the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Yeah.
This is what Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, the modern King James, trust in Jehovah with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths.
So this is something that when you claim that prayer and you prayed that prayer, you had to believe that this was the case.
Yes.
You knew and understood that God will direct you if you ask him.
If I didn't believe that God answered my prayer, why am I praying?
Right.
If I don't recognize and believe the answer to my prayer, you know, it was obvious that's what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Let me share another text. It's Psalms 119.
Yeah, that's Psalm 119.
And verse 105.
Sure.
It just talked about God directing our paths. It says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Mm.
The word of God, the Bible.
Yes. You know, Jesus is also the word.
Yes.
He's also the light, and he's also a lamp. So if we read the word of God, the written page, the word of God, which is the Son of God, can come into our heart and enlighten us.
Sure.
And that's the beauty. This is the gospel that you were talking about just a few moments ago.
Right.
Where Christ will come into our heart and can help us to be changed from within.
Because he's had the experience. He came to this earth and was made in all ways like his brethren, according to Hebrews chapter 2. He was perfected as the captain of our salvation through sufferings.
Mm.
What it means is he now has our experience. Hebrews 4 says that Jesus was tempted in all ways like we were, yet without sin. He didn't fall to those temptations. So now he has this experience. He was successful. He can help us overcome the things we're struggling with in our lives because he's experienced those same things and overcame them.
Like, for example, being able, like we're reading, to forgive others.
Yes.
As he, Christ, has forgiven us. You know, I don't know if I can ever get to that point.
Having been nailed to the cross, being beaten, been mocked, being spit on.
Yeah.
On the cross, he said, Father, forgive them.
Yeah.
For they know not what they do. He's not only talking about the men who put him on the cross, physically put him on the cross, and those religious leaders that caused this to happen. But he's talking about you and me as well.
Yes, he is.
Because it's my sins that put him on that cross. He died for my sins on that cross.
Mm. Can we take the time? I know we're in Matthew, but just to show how he was talking about everyone, right? There's a prayer that Jesus prayed for everyone in Matthew. Mm-hmm. I believe it's John chapter 17.
17, okay.
Can we read that prayer? And because I really think, you know, if you look at this, friends, and you read these words and you apply them to yourself, you know, Jesus is here. He's talking, of course, about his day, but not only that, he's talking about our day as well.
Now, just to set this up, in John 13 is the Last Supper.
Right.
Jesus has become a servant again and has washed his disciples' feet.
Mm-hmm.
Judas has left the scene, and Jesus is now telling the disciples, I'm going to be leaving you.
Yeah, this is Judas Iscariot you're talking about.
The one who betrayed Christ.
Right.
Jesus said, I'm going to be leaving you, and where I'm going, you can't go with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then John 14, 15, 16, and 17 are all those few hours of that evening. This is the conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples.
Mm.
Think if you're one of those disciples that have spent the last three and a half years with Christ.
Right.
He has become your life. The ministry of the gospel, the kingdom of God, has become your life.
Yeah.
And now Jesus, he says he's going away and you can't be with him anymore.
Mm.
So here in John 17, Jesus is praying to his Father. So do you want to read the whole thing?
I think it would be good to just to let there are people who are listening that may have never read this or heard this.
Well, let's break it up a little bit.
Sure.
And let's start with the first three verses.
Okay. All right. I apologize for my throat here. You want me to read?
Yes, if you could. If you could read verses 1 through 3. You have the New King James?
I have the New King James.
And I'll be reading from the Modern King James.
All right, very good. Here we go. John chapter 17, beginning in verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. And as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent."
So just to further set the scene here, these words Jesus says just before they go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's arrested and then is brought to trial. And the next day he would be put to death.
Right.
So he's praying to his Father. He's praying for his disciples. He's praying for you and me in this prayer. And he says in verse 3, "And this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God," talking to his Father, Jehovah, Yahweh, whatever name you want to use for the Father of Jesus Christ, "and that you may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent."
Mm-hmm.
This is Christ's prayer for his disciples as well as for us.
Yes, it is. It really is. And the thing is, keep in mind, too, that this happened, this was actually on the Passover.
Yes.
Because the sun had set, and the way they reckoned time was from sunset to sunset.
Right.
So according to the way God reckons time and the way that they reckon time then, is this was within the same day, because when the sun sets, the new day starts.
John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus coming towards him to be baptized, said, "This is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world."
Yes. And
of course, the lamb is the animal sacrificed and eaten during the Passover.
That's right. So he was fulfilling a Bible prophecy here.
Yes.
And he was fulfilling partially fulfilling Genesis 3:15 as well. So
let's continue reading. Let me read a few verses
here.
This is the Modern King James, verse 4 of John 17. "I have glorified you upon the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, Father, glorify me with yourself for the glory which I had with you before the world was.
Mm.
I have revealed your name to the men whom you gave to me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things, whatever you have given me, are from you. For I have given to them the words which you gave me, and they received them, and have known surely that I came out from you, and that you have, and they have believed that you sent me." Wow, there's so much here.
There is.
You know, he's talking about the disciples were not actually his, but the men that God gave him.
Right.
And he has revealed to them everything that that God told him to say. He has revealed to them. So, in essence, in verse 8, "For I have given them the words which you gave me." Jesus is relaying, he's the mediator. He's relaying the things God wants us to know as human beings. And Jesus has relayed those things not only to the disciples, but to everyone who had listened to him during his ministry.
Yes, he does the will of the Father. He speaks what the Father speaks, and nothing contrary.
Look also at verse 8. It says, "They have known surely that I came out from you, and they have believed that you sent me."
Yeah, the New King James says, "And they have known surely that I come forth from you."
Jesus is the Son of God. He came forth from the Father.
Amen.
He was born of God.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about that in depth in the upcoming series in September.
Yes.
So
let's continue reading. Unless you have anything else you want to add.
No, this is great. You know, this goes along too. I will share one more text. John 5:26. It says, "For as the Father has life in Himself, so He has given the Son to have life in Himself."
Yes.
The Father freely gives to the Son.
Yes. Everything that Christ has is given to Him from His Father.
And the Son freely gives to us.
Yes.
We just have to receive it.
Right.
He's not going to force it on us. And that's the point. These are the things that you were talking about, Ed, as we started about in the heart. That's where it starts.
Yes. Why don't you pick up at verse 9?
Sure. This is John 17, verse 9. And you stop me when you want me to stop.
All right.
"I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world."
Let's go ahead and stop there.
Okay.
And let's kind of review what you're talking about. Again, God has given Christ everything that He has, including His disciples. And He says in verse 10, "And all are mine, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I'm glorified in them." And He's asking them, saying, "I'm going to be no longer in this world, but these men are going to continue to be in this world. Keep them in your name, so that they may be one as we are one." So, you know, in John 14, Jesus tells the disciples that the Father and I are one.
Yes.
He also says that the Father dwells in Him. In John 15, Jesus tells His disciples that He needs to be in them and we need to be in Him, just as He is in the Father and the Father is in Him. And now here we have this comment from Christ, is keep them in your name, those you have given me, so that they may be one as we are. And as we read through this chapter, it's going to explain more what He's talking about.
Okay.
He says in verse 12, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them by my name."
No, it says in your name, is what mine says.
Yes, everything Christ did was through the power of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of His Father that was given to Him.
Mm.
And so in verse 14, it says, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world."
Mm.
His disciples have been drawn to Christ. They have experienced living with Christ and His character, and now they are wanting that same character, which is opposite of what the world tells us how we should live our life.
It is. And this is exactly what we were talking about in Matthew 6. Forgive us. He wants us to forgive as He has forgiven us.
Right.
This is not something the world wants to do.
Right.
And because of that, and because of our tendencies and nature, it's hard.
Right.
Especially when those around us are so vengeful and, you know, people have these vendettas and things against one another. So to forgive, you know, Christ is about to do the ultimate thing and show how much He loves everyone.
Right.
That's what He's leading up to here.
Let's continue on in verse 15. I'm going to start reading John 17:15, the modern King James. "I do not pray for you to take them out of the world, but for you to keep them from evil." Isn't that part of the Lord's Prayer?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So he told them that earlier on,
and
He's repeating that.
Right. Verse 16, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. sanctify them through your truth, for your word is truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's important to have knowledge of God's word, the Bible, because it's truth. And we can be changed, we can be cleansed, we can be sanctified through the words that are written on the page of the Bible, because it is the story of the Son of God, the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ, where we find forgiveness because of the blood shed on the cross and the ability to overcome sin in our lives, to have a new life in Christ Jesus, because God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
And this is the only way that we can be sanctified.
Yes.
To be sanctified means to be made holy.
Yes.
And Jesus said, He said, be ye holy, as my Father in heaven is holy. You know, you think about that. There's only one way we can do that.
It's only through the Son of God.
That's it. That's the only way. And this is what, this is Jesus' prayer.
What was the early Christian church called?
The Way.
The Way.
Yeah. And it's interesting to me because Jesus in John 14:6, he said to his disciples, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
No one comes to the Father except through me.
Yes.
And that's what we're talking about, yeah. So notice here in John 18, he says, as you have sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. This is the gospel commission being talked about again. Just as God has sent his Son into the world to announce the plan of salvation, to give people hope that are hopeless, to break people free out of the prison of sin, so he's sending his disciples into the world to accomplish the same thing through the preaching of the gospel. Verse 19 says, and I sanctify myself for their sake, so they also might be sanctified in truth. Verse 20, oh, what a beautiful verse. And I do not pray for these alone, but for those also who shall believe on me through their word.
So this is the point, Ed, that we can show that he's praying for us today. Because here's what it says in the New King James. He says, I do not pray for these alone, talking about those that are there with him, but also for those who will believe in me through their word.
Through their witness, through their preaching, through their testimony of the way they live their lives.
So he's praying for those who didn't yet believe and those who didn't yet live.
Yes.
And so his prayer extends until through to everybody until he comes back.
Yes.
But the thing is, we have to have the willingness to make that choice. And, you know, sometimes making that choice, we realize it involves changes in my life.
Drastic changes.
That I might not want to make.
Right.
And so this is why we started off and we said it, and Ed shared his little testimony, and this is why we're saying it again. Pray and ask. You can pray for faith.
Yes.
You can pray for wisdom. You can pray for knowledge and for God to fill your heart.
Right.
And if you ask, we're promised you will receive.
Yes. We're going to get to there eventually
in
Matthew 7. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, Christ is praying for you and me, and he understands the life that we live in this world because he has experienced these things, and he has overcome, and he wants to empower you to be able to overcome too.
Mm.
Okay, Mark, can you read the next section?
Sure.
Verse 21 through... the end of the chapter, actually.
Okay, I'm gonna start with 20,
okay,
because it kind of sets the stage.
Right.
So Jesus says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also... Yeah, let me start that again, verse 24. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known you, that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them.
All right, so interesting things here. It talks about, this is a common verse that people talk about unity in the Christian church, mm-hmm. but they miss the point of how that unity occurs. And we, in verse 20, it says that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me.
Right.
And how does that occur? Verse 23, it says, this is Jesus speaking, he says, I in them, Jesus in us, and you in me, the Father is in Christ, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. And the last verse you read reinforces that. It says, and I have made known to them your name, and will make it known, so that the love which you have loved me, may be in them, and I in them.
Christ in you.
Yes.
Right?
Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Not another being.
No. And, you know, in John 14, Jesus is saying these same things in a different way. And
You want to go there?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's look at that.
Let's start with verse 6.
Okay.
Can you read 6 through 14?
Sure. John chapter 14, verse 6. It says, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it.
There's a promise of praying in the name of Jesus.
That's it.
It's a promise written in the Bible from Jesus' words himself. Notice verse 10. It says, I am in the Father, and the Father in me. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of myself. It's a little different than your version. Mm-hmm. But the Father who dwells in me, he does the works. The works, the miracles that Christ did, were through the power of the Spirit of God working in him.
Amen.
The words that Jesus spoke were the words that his Father gave him to speak. And so he goes on to say, you know, he who believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater than these he shall do, because I go to the Father. So what is he talking about here? Let's continue reading in John 15. And Mark, can you read 15 through 23?
Sure. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. How far?
Through 23.
Okay. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him.
All right, so we just talked about being, Jesus' prayer for his disciples, being one with each other.
Yes.
And how does that occur? According to Jesus, it's because Jesus is in us and his Father is in him, that we may become one, united together. So let's look at what we just read in John 14. It says, I will pray the Father in verse 16, and he will give you another comforter so that he may be with you forever. Who is their current comforter?
Oh, this is Jesus.
Yes, he's comforted them because he has just told them in John 13, I am leaving you, and where I go, you can't come with me.
Right.
You notice there's a condition in verse 15.
Yeah, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments.
And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. So in John 17, he calls the comforter the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him nor know him. Talking to his disciples, he says, But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Mm. Who is it that the disciples know?
They know Christ because he's there with them.
It says, yeah, Christ has been dwelling with them. They've been with Christ for the last three and a half years. And he says, he shall be in you. Verse 18, which people totally...
Just a minute before you go there. Notice the beginning of verse 17. It talks about the Spirit of Truth.
Yes, who is the way, the truth, and the
life?
That's
Jesus. Yes. So it's the Spirit of Jesus.
Yes. Verse 18, don't miss this, folks. The King James says, I will not leave you comfortless. Remember, he's talking about giving them another comforter, the Spirit of Truth. I will not leave you comfortless. He says, I will come to you.
He doesn't say someone else.
Right.
And, you know, there's so many things here because Jesus says the Father and I are one.
Yes.
He says, and in here he's speaking about he and the Father, he yes. and the Father, over and over and over. There's not a third being involved.
Right.
The third part of that is humanity,
yes.
those who he died for. And he makes us one with the two, the Father and the Son.
Right. You know, in verse 19, it says, Yet in a little while the world does not see me anymore, but you see me, because I live, you shall also live. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, talking to his disciples,
yes.
and by extension, talking about us.
Yes.
You in me, we're supposed to be in Christ, and I in you. It's Christ in us. He who has kept my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. Don't miss this. People gloss over this, saying God's commandments have been done away with, and Christ's commandments are the same as his Father's, no difference.
Amen.
And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will, your Bible says, manifest myself to him. The Modern King James says, will reveal myself to them.
Oh, okay.
And Judas, one of the disciples, not Judas Iscariot, says, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? And what does he say? If a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him.
Who is the we?
It's him and his Father.
That's it.
Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Let's read that text just so that people
All right, Colossians chapter 1.
And that way they can see we're not just saying
27.
It. 26 and 27, he said. Let me just
This is Paul preaching. Yeah, he's preaching the gospel, and he's telling them about this mystery, verse 26, which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. For to them God would make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the nations, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, so that we may be present every man perfect in Christ Jesus.
Being in Christ, yes. That's so important. There's no other way for eternal life.
No, there is.
There's no other way for forgiveness of sins.
Right.
There's no other way to the Father, right?
I am the way, the truth, and the life.
And there's no other way that we can forgive others as he has forgiven us unless we accept what he has given us.
Right.
Right?
And have Christ in us.
Amen. So this is the importance of reading the words on the page,
yes.
Seeing what the Bible really says rather than what my church or my pastor,
my favorite author,
right,
whatever.
And you know, just simply see what the Bible says. And this, friends, this will make a difference in your life like you can't imagine at the moment.
Right. You're still going to experience the temptations of Satan. But now you have power to overcome them and to say no and to be faithful to God. You're still going to have difficulties in your life. Don't think that once you become a Christian that everything's going to be smooth sailing, because it's not. It may get worse Satan's going to attack you.
He doesn't like it when we turn to Christ.
Right.
He's doing everything he can to persuade us to stay away from our Heavenly Father and his Son. And, you know, the devil is an imposter, and he's trying to put himself in the place of Christ.
Right.
And he's in many ways, he has done that.
He's trying to build his own kingdom.
Absolutely.
A false kingdom, which will be destroyed.
Yes, it will. And because God's kingdom will crush and put an end to all kingdoms,
yes.
And only it will stand. That's from Daniel 2:44.
Yes.
So these things are vital. This is eternity.
This is the gospel.
About. Right. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And I realize that, you know, a lot of people are probably saying, it seems like a lot of these studies come back to this. That's what the whole Bible is about.
Yes.
From start to finish.
Right.
From start to finish. Everything in the Bible points to what Jesus has done for us.
Yes.
The price that his Father paid by sending his Son.
Yes.
And the blood of Jesus that was shed for every human being, you, the one that's listening that thinks, no, I'm not worthy. None of us are worthy.
No.
Not one.
No. That's why he came.
That's right. And I hope that this gives you some kind of a peace in your heart or some kind of a hope to open the Bible and see that from Genesis to Revelation, this gospel is being preached throughout the Bible. And, you know, we can't just take the Old Testament. We can't just take the New Testament. We have to take all Scripture
right. And
compare them. Ed, we have just about 3 minutes. Did you have anywhere else that we could go and maybe wrap this up a little bit?
We were talking about prayer.
Yes.
And, you know, there's lots of accounts or stories in the Bible of men that have prayed.
Mm-hmm.
I think of Daniel. In Daniel 6,
yes.
You know, Daniel, the lion's den. You know, he prayed to God faithfully 3 times a day. He opened his windows and prayed towards the God of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And men were jealous of him, of the authority that God had given him to with the king in Babylon. And so they set him up. And they convinced the king to make a law that says that whoever worships anyone else but you for 30 days will be thrown into the den of lions. Mm. Daniel knew about that new law, and he continued to pray, open his windows, and pray to the God of heaven.
It didn't stop him.
And once the king figured out that these men had tricked him, there was nothing he could do, for the laws of the Medes and Persians can't be changed. And so Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. And the king the next day went and said, "Has your God saved you?"
Mm.
And Daniel answered and said, "Yes, he did. God has shut the lion, angel have set the mouth of the lions, they have not harmed me."
You know, there's coming a time, Ed, when the laws may change.
Yes.
Right? And we might be told how we can worship and who we can worship and the way to worship,
Maybe
even the time to worship,
Yes. Right?
All of these things are put in the Bible for a reason. Are we ready for that? Are we willing and ready to take a stand for the God of the universe, for his son Jesus Christ, and take a stand. He took a stand for us.
You know, in the history of the world, there have been so many martyrs for Christ that have given up their lives because of the love they have for God and his son, because of the love they've experienced from God and his son.
Right.
Am I willing to do the same thing? Now, you may not experience that in your life. That time might not come. That experience might not come. But you can still stand up for what is right and stand against the wrong that is in this world by how you live your life, by how you treat others, by the words that come out of your mouth.
Yes, and begin that with a prayer.
Yeah.
And ask God to help you to recognize those things and see how he's working in your life. You know, we're out of time, Ed. It's hard to believe this time goes by so quick. I do want to encourage people. We're going to pick up next week in, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16.
Yes.
So we'll continue in this Sermon on the Mount. Yeah. And friends, again, I want to encourage you, read your Bibles. Open, and if you have time this coming week, read through chapter 6, and we'll pick up there next week together. Right. And I guess it's time to close with prayer.
All right.
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for this time. Thank you so much for your word. Father, thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, and for sending him, for giving each person the opportunity for eternal life. Father, may we open our hearts as individuals and receive him. May we read through John chapter 14, John chapter 17, and recognize that Jesus was praying for us in John chapter 17. May we recognize, Father, who you are, the identity of you and your son, and that we can be one with you and with him. So please be with us until we come together again. We thank you for every gift you give us. And Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Ed, good to have you back. I'm glad we're here in the studio together. And friends, we hope you will tune in again next week right here on New Visions Radio, Sunday at 7 p.m. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.